This morning we're back in Nehemiah. I'm supposed to be teaching through Nehemiah for these last 6 weeks. I cheated last week and took the Sunday off and preached Burnham the Ships. So if you were not here last week, you can get a copy of that CD out there in the box on your way out if you would like a copy of that. Lesson one, we talked about Nehemiah responding to bad news. He heard that the walls of Jerusalem were broke down, and it burdened him, and he prayed and fasted for 4 months, seeking the mind of God and what God would have him to do concerning that situation. In lesson two, he had been placed in a strategic place and position in the kingdom as a cupbearer to the king, and God put him there for that time and that place. And he went before the king and asked the king for permission to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. The third lesson, we saw how he went back and he gathered up the remnant of people that was there and began to motivate them for the cause of rebuilding the kingdom. And then Wednesday night, we talked about how they were prepared for battle. The enemy came against them and tried to use scare tactics to cause them to be fearful and afraid, but the Bible says the people had a mind to work, and they armed themselves for battle, and they worked with one hand, and they had held a sword in the other hand, and they were together to do the job that God wanted them to do. Now today we're in chapter 6, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono, but they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent me unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Geshem saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward, I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up and said, Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, and that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these works, and on the prophetess Nodiah, the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all of our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Amen. Amen. Busy doing the work of the Lord. Busy doing the work of the Lord. You may be seated. If you have your notebooks with you today, that's in page 22, I believe. Two of the greatest traits that we can have is discernment and wisdom. I probably ask for these two things as much or more than anything else that I ask God for, along with a clean heart and a right spirit. I ask God for wisdom. I ask God for discernment. If a person can discern between good and evil, then they can make wise decisions based upon that knowledge, and they can exercise control over their life, doing and reaping good. They will be fruitful, they will be productive, and live a victorious life. But having the ability to discern and make wise decisions does not mean that we will not have problems in life. It does not mean that the enemy will still not come against us, because we live in a fallen world. We live in a sinful world. And as a result of that, there will be both spiritual and human forces that will oppose us. It doesn't matter how good of a person you might be. It doesn't matter how good of a life that you endeavor to live, how gracious and kind you might be. There are some people that will not like you. That might be a shock to you, but let me just tell you, everybody doesn't like you. I don't care how kind you think you are, and how sweet you think you are, and how perfect you think you are, there are probably some people that know you that just really don't like you. Some may even hate you and despise you. Others may seek to abuse you, or to assault you, or to do bodily harm. So there will be a constant barrage of temptation and trials that come to each of us from day to day, from time to time, from various sources. So when we are opposed by others, or attacked spiritually, or go through temptation or trials, we need to be able to discern right from wrong. We need to be able to decipher between truth and error. Then we need the wisdom and the courage to respond correctly in the situations that we find ourselves in. So the constant need for discernment and wisdom is something that we all need in our life, and it's something that we see here repeatedly in this story in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah's opponents, they had failed miserably in their attempt to derail the building project. So they changed their strategy, and instead of launching destructive strikes against the building project itself, they sought to attack Nehemiah personally. They are desperate. They're running out of time. The wall is just about complete, and when it's finished, they're going to lose their stronghold. They're going to lose their position of power and their position of authority. They're going to lose control over the Jewish settlement that was there. And if the walls get built, then they're going to feel more safe, and they're going to feel more secure, and they're going to grow stronger year by year. So in desperation, the officials of the surrounding nations plot an assassination attempt against Nehemiah to discredit him among the people. We read it. Verse 1 said, "When Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies found out that I had finished rebuilding the walls and that no gaps remained, though we had not yet hung the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me a message asking me to meet with them at one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But I realized that they were plotting to harm me, so I replied by sending this message to them: I am doing a great work. I cannot stop to come and meet with you." If the devil cannot stop and hinder and impede our progress one way, he'll try another way. He does not give up easy. He is relentless in his attacks against us. And so they're unsuccessful in stopping the rebuilding of the wall. So they decide to get Nehemiah outside of the wall so that they could take his life. If the devil can't stop the building project, if the devil can't discourage the people, the devil will try to destroy the leader. And folks, I've told you before, and I'll continue to tell you, I need your prayers. There will never come a time when I do not need you praying for me. The greater the work that God has for me and us to do, the more the enemy wants to destroy us. So for those of you who feel like after 5 minutes of prayer, you don't have anything else to pray for, now you do. You can spend the rest of your day just praying for me, praying for my strength, praying for my mind, praying for my body, praying for my spirit, praying for my marriage, praying for my family, praying for my influence in this community. You need to pray for those that are in positions of leadership every day. Somebody says, well, you're just being selfish. Yes, I am. I need your prayers, and I'm being honest. I'm a man. I'm a human being. I need your prayers. And the Bible tells us to do that. But verse 4 says, four times they sent the same message to Nehemiah, and each time he gave them the same reply. I'm busy doing the Lord's work. I'm not going to come down. I'm not going to stop what I'm doing. I'm not going to take time away from the project just to entertain what it is that you have to say. So they keep trying to get Nehemiah to meet with them, but he keeps refusing. I'm not going to stop what I'm doing. I'm not going to allow you to cause me to lose focus on what God has caused me to be focused on, and I'm not going to give you an opportunity to kill me. Verse 5 and 7, the fifth time Sanballat's servant came with an open letter in his hand, and this is what it said. Geshem tells me that everywhere he goes, he hears that you and the Jews are planning to rebel, and that is why you are building the wall. Everywhere he goes, everybody he talks to, now doesn't that sound like the devil? The devil will tell you, I had somebody tell me last week, everybody knows about this. No, everybody don't know. That's what the devil says. That's one of the devil's lies. Everybody knows. Everybody's against you. Everybody believes this. Everybody believes that. That's a lie. He's the father of lies, and the truth is not him. Everybody doesn't know. And on top of that, most people don't care. Oh, I saw them over there talking about me. They wasn't talking about you. They could care less about you, probably. Pastor, everybody, tell everybody to come talk to me about it. I've never had that happen yet. Everybody don't line up to come talk to me about it. Everybody feels like this. No, it's usually two or three. Them and their cronies. Hello. Well, that's not my notes, but that's good teaching anyway. Everywhere we go, we hear that you and the Jews are planning to rebel, and that's why you're building the wall. According to his report, you plan to be their king, and he also reports that you have appointed prophets to prophesy about you in Jerusalem, saying, look, there is a king in Judah. You can be very sure that this report will get back to the king, so I suggest that you come and talk it over with me. If there was a problem with the king, the person to talk to would have been the king. If there's a problem, you go to the source of the problem. You go to the person that has questions. You don't go to everybody else and their mama talking about it. Hello? So this scheme against Nehemiah now is to slander his name and to spread rumors and lies about him. They're determined to destroy him any way they can. And folks, when people have it out for you, they don't care whether it's the truth or not. They just got something against you. They just don't want you in that place, in that position. So if this don't work, they'll try that. If that don't work, they'll try something else. Very seldom is the issue really the issue. They'll use this as an issue, but that's really not the issue. There's really an underlying cause behind why it is that they don't like you or don't want you there. So something to point out here that you might have missed. The Bible says that Sanballat's servant came with an open letter in his hand. Everybody say an open letter. Now, sending a letter unsealed was very unusual. In ancient days, when an official letter was sent, it was usually rolled up, it was usually tied up, and it usually had a seal upon it so that it could only be opened and read by the person to whom it was sent. But now here the Bible lets us know that it is an open letter that is sent. Why is it an open letter? So that anybody and everybody can read it. I'm on my way to see Nehemiah. Let me tell you what the letter says. Here, pass it around. Anybody can read it. It's just an open letter. Why were they doing that? Because they wanted to spread the lies. They wanted to spread the deception to as many people as they possibly could, because they knew that the more people that read it, the more people heard about it, the more gossip and lies would be told. In this letter, Sanballat is accusing Nehemiah of plotting a rebellion against the king. He's not plotting a rebellion against the king. He was the king's wine bearer, cup bearer. He was close to the king. He had the favor of the king. The king gave him permission to go and gave him the supplies to do what needed to be done. But now they're turning it around and twisting it around and saying, really, he's rebelling against the king. In fact, he's even gone so far in his rebellion that he's hired some fake preachers to prophesy. Now, for those of you that don't know it, there are some fake preachers. There are some charlatans. There are some hirelings. Before I came here, I had a real good opportunity to go somewhere else, to a brand new building on the highway with $8 million and it was paid for. They told me I would never have nothing to worry about the rest of my life if I'd be their pastor. And I said to them, I said, if you're looking for a hireling, you've got the wrong man. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how nice your building is. I don't care where the location is. I'm not for sale. I'm not a hireling. I work for God. And if God tells me to say something, it's my obligation and my responsibility to say it regardless of who likes it or who don't like it. I've got to answer to him. I'm a lot more interested in pleasing him than I am pleasing anybody else. So they're spreading lies about this good, godly man who's just doing what God called him and sent him there to do. They hoped that Nehemiah would cave under the pressure and that he'd have to stop what he was doing and to come talk to them to defend himself against their false accusations. Folks, don't ever get caught up in spreading lies and slander. Don't allow the devil to enlist you to help destroy another person's character or reputation. I said, don't ever allow the devil to ensnare you and to enlist you in destroying somebody else's reputation or character. Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Get rid of it. Titus 3:2 says, remind the people that they must not speak evil of anyone, and they must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. Don't speak evil of anyone, the Bible says. There'd be a whole lot less talking going on, wouldn't there? It's so easy to get caught up. And before we know it, we're saying something evil. We're saying something slanderous. We're saying something unkind. And when we do that, we need to repent. I got one amen. I said, when we do that, we need to repent. Because the Bible tells us not to do that. Psalms 101:5 says, I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbor. I will not endure conceit and pride. God said, I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to put up with it. Psalms 101:7 says, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Proverbs 10:18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Proverbs 19:5, a false witness will not go unpunished, nor will a liar escape. I don't know how you interpret that. That sounds serious to me. Those who lie and slander will not go unpunished. So what do you do when somebody lies on you, when somebody slanders you, when somebody's speaking untruths about you? You live so that other people don't believe it. I said you live so that other people don't believe it. You can't stop what somebody else says. You can't stop what somebody else thinks, but you can live a life of integrity in face of the lie so that when other people hear the lie, they don't believe it. Why? Because they know you to be a person of integrity, a person of truth, a person who conducts themselves in a righteous manner. You can't worry about everybody that's talking bad about you, because I told you, somebody's not going to like you. Somebody's going to talk bad about you. Who was that? Wasn't it just come to my mind? I think it was Abraham Lincoln told somebody, because somebody was criticizing him. He said, if I stopped and tried to squell every criticism for that come against me, I might as well close up shop. I might as well forget about doing my job. We have a job to do. Nehemiah had a job to do. He knew that he could not be distracted by the enemy that wanted to get him down off of the work and off the wall. So live so that others don't believe the lie. Verse 8 and 9, his reply was, you know you're lying. I like that. You know you're lying, you lying hypocrite, you. There is no truth in any part of your story. They were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could break our resolve and stop the work. So I prayed for strength to continue the work. Nehemiah denies the report. He makes it known that what they're saying is not true. And he again prays for strength to continue the work. God, you know they're lying. I need your help. I need your strength. I need you to be my defense. Verse 10 through 13, later I went to visit Shimei, the son of Deliah, the grandson of Metabel, who was confined to his home. He said, let us meet together inside the temple of God and bolt the door shut, because your enemies are coming to kill you tonight. But I replied, should someone in my position run away from danger? Should someone in my position enter the temple to save his life? No, I won't do it. I realized that God had not spoken to him, but that he had uttered this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. They were hoping to intimidate me and make me sin by following his suggestion. Then they would be able to accuse and to discredit me. So since none of the other tactics had worked, they decided to hire them a false priest to prophesy and to try to entrap Nehemiah. And he warns him of the assassination plot that's against him that night. He suggests that they hide in the temple in the holy place. And initially, Nehemiah believes this man because he's somebody he knows. He's the priest. But when he suggests that they go hide in the temple in the holy place, he realized that if I did that, I'm discrediting my reputation. I'm going against the laws of God. I'm going into a place where I don't have business being, since I'm not a priest myself. So if Nehemiah would have followed his suggestion, not only would he have been killed, but they would have been able to discredit him and his reputation, because he would have been committed this terrible sin by desecrating the temple of God. So Nehemiah says, I'm not going to run and hide. I don't need to run and hide. Why should I run? Why should I hide? I haven't done anything wrong. Cowards run. I said cowards run. Coward is a person of weak character who flees in a difficult situation. When a leader acts cowardly, he damages his reputation and dishonors the name of the Lord. Whenever any of us fail to stand up for truth and righteousness, it reveals a lack of courage in our own life. Amen. We need to be people of courage. We need to be courageous. We need to be bold. We need to take a stand for truth and righteousness regardless of who doesn't like it. If somebody attacks me, or somebody attacks you, or somebody attacks another member of this church, and you don't stand up for your brothers and sisters in the Lord, you're acting cowardly. Amen. If somebody slanders me, if somebody lies against me, and you don't come to my defense, you're really not my friend. You're not being courageous if you don't defend those who are not there to defend themselves. Hello? Don't be a coward. Don't allow people. Don't just sit by silently and not speak up when you need to be bold and courageous and speak up and say, hey, that's my pastor you're talking about. Shut up. Well, I might hurt their feelings. Well, they're hurting God's feelings. Hello? They're going against the word of God. And as part of the body of Christ and the family of believers, somebody said it just a couple of days ago, I don't remember whether it's here or somewhere else, you know, brothers and sisters, they might fuss among themselves, but don't let somebody else get in the picture. Somebody else attacks one of my brothers, guess what? They got the whole Green Klan to contend with. And that's the same way it should be among us. If somebody attacks our church family, they attack our church family. And if you're a part of Cottonwood Christian Fellowship, then you need to be willing to stand up and to be hurt. Don't be a coward. Everybody say, don't be a coward. 1 Samuel 26:9 says, who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Nobody. Psalms 105:15, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. If you do, if you go against the word of God, there will be a price to pay, I promise. So it takes courage to stand for truth and righteousness, especially in the face of those who are opposing and those who do not feel the same way that you do. I'm still talking about not being a coward. Deuteronomy 1:17 says, ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. Don't be afraid of the judgment of man. Man's not the one you're going to have to give an account to. It's God Almighty. And all of us are going to have to give an account for every word and for every deed. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The NLT says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but to trust the Lord means safety. Fearing people is a trap. 12 spies were sent by Moses into the land of promise to spy out the land. Two of them came back courageous, bold, full of faith, with a good report. 10 were cowards. 10 were full of fear. And there's not a person here that can name the 10. If any of you can stand up. We'll be happy to honor you for your remembrance of cowards. We don't know who they are because we don't care who they are. They're cowards. That's what I know about them, and that's all I need to know about them. But we know the two that were bold. We know the name of Joshua and Caleb. We know those that had a good report. Those that were full of faith. Those that believed and honored God that they served. Numbers 13:30-33 says, but Caleb tried to encourage the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who explored the land with him answered, we can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. So they spread discouraging reports about the land among the Israelites. The land we explored will swallow up any who go to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. We felt like grasshoppers next to them, and that's what we looked like to them. Does that sound like bold men, courageous men, men full of faith? No, sounds like cowards. Gideon had an army of 32,000, and God said, that's too many. And he said, well, God, how can that be too many? They've got hundreds of thousands. We can't do it. He said, no, you can't. You got too many. What am I supposed to do, God? Well, tell all those that are scared to go home. And so his army that started out at 32,000 is reduced to 10,000 because 22,000 wanted to go home to mama. Cowards, soldiers, men supposed to be in the army, men supposed to be brave and strong and ready to attack the enemy, went home. Saul and his army were cowards. When Goliath stood out and said, send me a man. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17:24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. That's pretty scary. They were scared bad. They were sore afraid. You've got to be afraid if you break out in sores all over. That's not what it means. Just trying to wake some of you up. Speaking of Jesus, the Bible says in John 7, 12 through 13, there was a lot of discussion about him among the crowds. Some said he's a wonderful man, while others said he's nothing but a fraud, deceiving the people. But no one had the courage to speak favorably about him in public, for they were afraid of getting in trouble with the Jewish leaders. Talking about Jesus. Some said he's nothing but a fraud, deceiving the people. Others said he's a wonderful man. But they're not willing to say that publicly. They're not willing to say that in the face of those who are lying on Jesus. John 12, 42 and 43 says, many people, including some of the Jewish leaders, believed in him, but they wouldn't admit it to anyone because of their fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than the praise of God. Many people, including some of the Jewish leaders, believed in him. They believed that he was the Messiah. They believed that he was who that he said that he was. But they wouldn't admit it because they were afraid that the Pharisees would kick them out. Why? Because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They were more concerned about what others thought about them than they were about what God himself thought about them. The very disciples of Jesus, before Pentecost, they were cowards. They didn't have the courage to stand with Jesus. The Bible says that when the enemy showed up in the garden, all the disciples forsook him and fled. Folks, we have to have a made-up mind that we're going to stand for truth. I said we have to have a made-up mind that we're going to stand for truth and we're going to stand for righteousness. It doesn't matter what somebody else says. It doesn't matter else what somebody else thinks. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And we need to stand for what's right, defend others who are right, not be sucked in by the enemy and involved in doing the work that he's trying to do to discredit the work that God wants to accomplish. Nehemiah stands strong. He refuses to fall for the enemy's tricks. He prays and he stays true to God and to the work that God has called him to do. And because he was faithful, because he was a praying man, because he stayed true to the cause that God had sent him there, the work that God wanted him to do, the wall got built. Verse 15 and 16 says, so on October the 2nd, the wall was finally finished. Just 52 days after we had begun. And when our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated. And they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. The wall was finished 52 days after they started building it. What a testimony. What a statement for the people of God. The walls had been in ruin for over 100 years. But once the people were mobilized by the man that God sent them, the walls were completed in less than 2 months. And despite the utter ruin of the city, the people worked hard. They had a mind to work. Night and day they worked until the project was finished. And despite all the vicious opposition from the surrounding leaders, they accomplished what they set out to accomplish. Through perseverance, through endurance and steadfastness, they accomplished what everybody else thought was impossible to do. And when all was said and done, the Bible says the enemy were frightened and humiliated. Folks, if God be for us, who can be against us? Yes, there will be opposition. People will come against us, but we must not be distracted. We must not lose our focus. We must stay strong and committed to the task at hand. Perseverance is essential to completing any task. No matter what it is that God wants us to do, we have to keep our hand to the plow. We have to keep working until the job is done. People will defy. People will disagree. And when that happens, the natural tendency is to pull back and to withdraw and to stop what we're doing. But the work that God wants us to do is too great. I said the work that God wants us to do is too great. The cause that we're involved in here is bigger than we are. We're doing what we're doing not for ourselves, but for the sake of the harvest, for the sake of the city, for the work that God has for us to do in Alamogordo and Otoro County. Amen. There are those that would encourage us to forget it, to give up on your dream. They will attempt to cause us to believe lies. They will make fun of our devotion. They'll say we're crazy for making sacrifices. Some will accuse us of having ulterior motives. But Cottonwood Christian Fellowship is committed to doing what we can do, whatever we can do, to have a greater impact in this community for the cause of Christ. Amen. And those who think that we're wasting our time and money and what we're ever endeavoring to do, they're going to be like these people were. They're going to be humiliated. They're going to be embarrassed. And they're going to be left with the testimony, just as these people were, that God was involved, that the work that was accomplished had the hand of God upon it. So, folks, we've got a good job ahead of us. We've got a good work that God calls us to do. We're not going to come down off the wall. We're not going to be distracted by the enemy. It doesn't matter who says what. We're going to do the work that God called us to do, and we're going to see this city taken for the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you believe that, stand to your feet, and let's give God some praise here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be involved in your work, in your cause, in the advancement of your kingdom, Lord, and all that you have for us to do. We're going to do it, Lord, to the best of our ability, with faith and confidence and assurance, Lord, that you're with us every step of the way. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Wednesday night, we'll be teaching from the book of Acts. Sunday will be Easter message. Sunday school starts at 10 o'clock. You're dismissed till then.